I'd like to speak tonight and bring your attention to the importance of the Holy Spirit in your life and the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His presence. We need His guidance. We need His gentle reminders. We need the direction. We know that the Holy Spirit is present in our lives as Christians. We believe that when we become Christians, that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And I'll read a scripture in a little bit about that. We believe that the Holy Spirit is already here. We believe that where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. We believe that the Holy Spirit was given for a very important reason. It was given on the day of Pentecost. And the reason that God gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was because He was ushering in a new day, a new time period, the importance of the church. And the Holy Spirit is important to us today. I want to say to you tonight, on this beautiful Sunday night, Mother's Day evening, so glad you could be here tonight and were able to come. But I want us not to miss, even tonight, the importance and what God's Word says about the Holy Spirit, because I would imagine each one of us need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I know I do. I know that there's things that God's Spirit can do in my heart and my spirit that I know there's no way that I can do myself. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His presence. His presence is here. What we need to do is be listening to the Holy Spirit. And so tonight and next Sunday night, I want to speak about the Holy Spirit especially. And obviously, if you follow the church calendar between the resurrection of Jesus and then His ascension into heaven, and then the next great event that takes place in the church calendar in the Christian church is the day of Pentecost and kind of the celebration of Pentecost Sunday and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we're kind of aiming toward that and looking toward that in our study tonight of the Holy Spirit and what I want to say about the Holy Spirit tonight. Tonight, I really kind of want to look at the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in the words of Jesus. And we're moving from the beginning of the Bible and the importance of the Holy Spirit to today, and then the days ahead and the future, all that show us how important the Holy Spirit is to us and how important the Holy Spirit is to you. What we see a 50-day period between the day of Jesus' resurrection and Pentecost. Again, that's kind of highlighted on the church calendar, and we talk about it at different times. After Easter night begins a 50-day process, the next 40 days until Jesus ascended into heaven. The gospel tells us exactly how many days between the resurrection and Jesus' ascension into heaven. It was 40 days. And we know directly from the Gospels that from the ascension of Jesus until the beginning of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the amazing day of Pentecost and all that took place, 10 days took place, 10 days before Pentecost. We know that Jesus had talked a lot about the coming of the Holy Spirit to His disciples. We know that He had said many things about who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit would do. It would be the Holy Spirit, Jesus told the disciples, that would give them the ability to be the disciples, to be the church that God wants them to be. And in the same way, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to be the church that God wants us to be. And when we're listening to the Holy Spirit and seeking the Holy Spirit, He has things to do to help us in our Christian lives. No matter how old we are, young we are, no matter whether we've come to church a few times or we've come to church for 70 years, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. We live in the day. We live in the age of the Holy Spirit. And He is key to our lives today. He's key to us being New Testament Christians, effective church people, not belonging to a church, not church in we go to a building, but in being the body of Christ and being the witnesses that God calls us to do. We live today in the same time period, and you look at the time period of the church as the early church and the day of Pentecost. We live in the day of the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the chapter hasn't closed on the day of Pentecost. We are completing. Some people say we're in the last chapters of the days of Pentecost. and the work of the church before Jesus comes back, as Pastor Laura prayed about. It's coming to an end, and Christ is coming back, and there's going to be a change, and we speculate the marvel and the wonder of the end times, and we know it's coming. I don't know how soon. I don't know whether it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next year, it could be 20 years, it could be 20,000 years. I don't know. No man knows but the Father. But I know that the times are pointing to the end, and we're coming to the end of the days of the church. And so tonight I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and what the Bible says in places about the importance of the Holy Spirit, and especially tonight to bring to your attention how important the Holy Spirit has been in the history of the church and the body of Christ. If you have a Bible and you're going to follow along tonight, I want to read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Then I'm going to jump around and read some other scriptures about the Holy Spirit from the Bible. But start out tonight with Acts chapter 1, reading the first 8 verses of this book written by a man named Luke, same man that wrote the Gospel of Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke to describe the ministry of Jesus. And he wrote the book of Luke to describe the beginning of the church and what happened in the church in the first weeks and months and years of the Christian church. But read with me if you would and look along and think along with me tonight. Acts chapter 1, especially as to what it says about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John's baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus says to his apostles in verses 7 and 8 that we're not going to know all the times and what's going to happen and when. And you're not going to understand the timing of God. Only God the Father knows that. But I do have something for you to do until he comes back. I do have a job for you. I have a task for you. Be about the work that I've called you to be. I've called you to be my witnesses. I've called you to be working. I've called you to be about doing something that I give you to do. And it's related to the Holy Spirit. I notice 4 references in these verses to the Holy Spirit in this opening passage of the book of Acts. Now, some people, and depending what kind of Bible you have, you might have a title for the book of Acts. It might say the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes that's a title that's put there. That, of course, wasn't in the original text, but added later by those. Some people have in their Bible the title the Acts of the Holy Spirit because they were related so closely. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came and acted that the apostles began to act and be filled with power and the ability to preach and teach and do the work that God called them to do. The Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Well, there are several references in this chapter to the Holy Spirit. The first one is in verse 2. Luke says that Jesus has been teaching them through the Holy Spirit. If you look back there, it says, "I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit." Right here in the first 2 verses of the book of Acts, there's a link between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we all know how important Jesus is to our faith, who he is, what he did, his purpose to come, but there is also an equally important ministry of the Holy Spirit. And here it says that it was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus did what he did. It was through the Holy Spirit that Jesus taught. And Luke makes the point that it's through the Holy Spirit that Jesus was able to teach the apostles everything that he did. And then we go to verse 4 and we find another reference. In verse 4 it says, Jesus tells them to wait on the gift that has been promised. Verse 4 says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Many, many times before, Jesus has talked to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. We kind of, or at least I kind of grew up a little bit with the idea that we really don't know anything about the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. And it was kind of a sudden new work of God and an amazing thing that happened when God sent his Holy Spirit from heaven. Almost like it was almost the first time God ever had done that. But that's really not true. Jesus had been talking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. He had been preparing them. He had been teaching them. He had been saying all kinds of things to help them to understand the role that the Holy Spirit was going to have when he came. Jesus told them, don't leave Jerusalem after these 10 days. He didn't tell them how long, but he told them, don't leave Jerusalem because it's about to happen. He says, in a few days, the Holy Spirit is going to come and they were to wait. And so they waited. Sometimes waiting is important. Sometimes it's important for us to wait on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to give us guidance and show us what to do. But we don't live in the day of waiting. We live in the day of witnessing. We live in the day of action. We live in the day that we're to be about what the Holy Spirit has already called us and given us to do. But for 10 days, they didn't live in that. They lived in the time of waiting. They were to go to Jerusalem and they were to wait. If you remember back in Luke chapter 24, Luke wrote, I am going to send you, and so he told the disciples, it's on the screen, I'm going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So it's not just once that Jesus told his disciples to wait. He probably told them that several times after the resurrection. Okay, what's next? You're to wait. You're to wait until the promised one comes. They knew that God was going to do something extraordinary. I don't think they had much of a clue of what it was. They probably understood a little bit, maybe in concept, that Jesus said, God's going to send something else to help you to do what I've called you to do. But I really doubt that they understood a whole lot of what it meant that the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on them. But more than one time, Jesus talked to them about the importance of the Holy Spirit. So the disciples knew that God was going to send them something very special. But I wonder, what did they know? What did they think about it? Did they know what the Holy Spirit was? Did they know what the Holy Spirit would do for them? Jesus described it to them quite a few times. But of course, until you experience something, you have more questions than you do have answers. But Jesus had said to them several times, stay in the city, wait until you are given the power. You are clothed, it says in Luke chapter 24, with power from on high. Well, I also see in Acts chapter 1 two more specific details that Jesus had told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, there's another reference. It says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's actually almost a quote from the gospel, the beginning of the gospel when Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist came foretelling about Jesus. And one of the things that John the Baptist talked about 30 years earlier is that the Holy Spirit would be a part of the ministry of Jesus and so important to what Jesus was going to do and what he was going to be. And so again, this isn't the first time that Jews would have heard about the Holy Spirit. They would have known that had they known the ministry of John the Baptist and what he had said before. This is what John the Baptist had said would happen, but they had not yet seen it. They had not. This is one of those prophecies of John the Baptist, but had not yet been fulfilled. There was a future element to this promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the baptism with fire, the baptism with water, which is something that took place on the day of Pentecost, this amazing pouring out of God's Spirit. And then one more reference here in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus connects the Holy Spirit to power in their lives and the ability for them to be able to do the things that God called them to do. We cannot accomplish the plan of God in our lives without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot accomplish what God intends for the church. The church can't be the church that God intends it to be without the power of the Holy Spirit. He will come on you. I don't know if they had any concept of what that meant. I mean, boy, when we read it looking back, we think, wow, boy, did he ever. You know, in that upper room and the tongues of fire and the amazing pouring out of something unique. But ahead of time, imagine, they wonder, well, what is this about? He'll pour it out on you. They had heard some of the promises. They had heard some of the prophecies, but yet they had not yet experienced it and yet did not understand it. But the Holy Spirit would be an amazing new time period for the disciples. It's interesting to me, the story of the Holy Spirit in the history of the Bible. And I said before, I've probably focused more on the Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost going forward than I have really understanding the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for example, in the Old Testament and during the ministry of Jesus. We think of the Holy Spirit, at least I do, as coming at Pentecost. Again, as if it's almost a new phenomena, or, you know, it's something new from God that really hasn't been a part of the relationship between God and man. But that's really not true. When you look over the history of the Old Testament and the Bible, you find a thread of the importance of the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. But the role of the Holy Spirit is different. The role of the Holy Spirit is different in the Old Testament, in the ministry of Jesus, and then after the day of Pentecost. There's like three time periods of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it seems to me. And then I would imagine that in the end times and in the new heaven and the new earth, the role of the Holy Spirit's going to be different. And that's my study's not about that tonight. But certainly looking back in the Old Testament, the ministry of Jesus, and then the day of Pentecost and the church, the Holy Spirit had a different role. The same Spirit, but a different role. In the same way that Jesus was with God in the beginning, somehow creating. He was the Creator, and then there was a time when He became flesh and dwelt among us. He had a different role. The same God, the same Jesus, the same part of the Trinity, but He had a different role. And then when He ascended back to heaven, and we're told Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints. Again, we have three administrations of Jesus. And at the end of time, when the end of time comes, Jesus is going to come back as conqueror. We see the same Jesus, the same Trinity, but in different roles. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit has different roles that He plays in the history of time. If you look back into the Old Testament, you'll find that the Holy Spirit was also very active in the Holy Spirit, or in the Old Testament, but in a different way. If you just start in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, and you go back to the book of Genesis, and you read what the book of Genesis says about the Holy Spirit, you'll find that there the Holy Spirit was there. Again, God the Father, and the Word, in the beginning, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that all three parts of the Trinity were alive and well in Genesis chapter 1, and will be alive and well in Revelation chapter 22. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Just think of the Holy Spirit existence in Genesis chapter 1. And again, Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 22, the first and the last books of the Bible, what do we find? We find a reference to the Holy Spirit. And then there's a whole lot of references in between. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I'm just paraphrasing one of the translations. But the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. The Spirit of God. Now, there are over 230 references to the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. Not all of them are a reference to the Holy Spirit. Some of them are references to the word that we think of is a man's spirit, or a spirit, not a holy, not a God spirit. But there are about 100 references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And this is the first one in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. You could say it like this: the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, in the second verse of the Bible. In chapter 6, I read this scripture this morning: my spirit will not always contend with man. Again, the Holy Spirit, that's a reference to a personal being. It's, I guess, what we would call a personal noun. The existence of a being, the Holy Spirit will not contend. My Holy Spirit, Genesis chapter 6 says, my Holy Spirit will not contend with man forever. And then all throughout the Old Testament, we have about 100 references or so to the Holy Spirit of God. You think of Moses. Just think with me. I'm going to name a few of these references in the Old Testament. Think of Moses and God's Spirit. God's Spirit being encountered in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And all the times that Moses encountered the Spirit of God. For example, in the burning bush and what that means. And when he went up on the mountain and then later on in the tabernacle when the presence of God would come down upon the tabernacle and there they would encounter the very presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Again, a different ministry, a different form, a different understanding than in the New Testament, but those are all references to the personal nature of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Exodus chapter 31 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. In the book of Numbers, it talks about how the Spirit of God came upon this man or this person and gave them certain powers for a time. Again, different than the New Testament, because in the Old Testament, the model seems to be that the Holy Spirit is not ever present in the heart of every person all the time. But the Holy Spirit moves to and from and about, and God the Father from heaven somehow sends the Spirit to do this, or sends the Spirit to do this miracle, or sends the Spirit into the heart of this man to help him, or withdraws his Spirit because of sin in the camp of the people. And God's Spirit seems to move around more than in the New Testament and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. I think of the book of 1 Samuel and one of those kind of sad stories we read of King Saul. And it says there that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Holy Spirit left him. The book of Chronicles talks about the Spirit of God coming upon King Amaziah, other kings, prophets. All throughout the Old Testament we have the coming of the Spirit of God upon certain people at certain times. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. And then he pushed apart the pillars in the temple and it came down. In the book of Isaiah we read, I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. A prophecy about the future of the Holy Spirit. I love that scripture. We love to read that scripture in preparation for Pentecost. I will pour out my Spirit on all of mankind. And some of the minor prophets talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit in a way that God's going to pour it out. There's been these clues all along in the Old Testament and to the Jewish people of the outpouring and the promises of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Think of the book of Zechariah, and not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Many places in the Old Testament can prepare us to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I've read just a few of them tonight. And then the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament seemed to kind of come and go as God the Father directs. I don't know that that's exactly the right description of it, but somehow he doesn't indwell. The word indwelling is new to the New Testament. The Holy Spirit indwells us. That's different. The Old Testament doesn't seem to be that universal indwelling of God's people. He would come for a time and be there. But in the New Testament, it's different. Jesus talks about the indwelling of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit will do that. In the New Testament, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's role will be different. And he will come to stay. And that seems to be Jesus' focus in the New Testament as he tries to convey to these disciples before the event of Pentecost what to expect and why the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit so many times to his disciples as he was approaching the crucifixion and in the weeks in that time period that I described as we went through Holy Week, that time period of the last 7 days of Jesus' life, there are several references Jesus makes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to do his work. And now after the resurrection, it would seem that seems to be on Jesus' mind completely. Get ready for the Holy Spirit. Be prepared for the Holy Spirit. Not when Jesus first talked about the Holy Spirit, or he was evident, but in the later part of Jesus' ministry, you have many, many references to the Holy Spirit. You have about 55 times where Jesus specifically talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about Spirit other times, so that's different than talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He talks about the Spirit of man and so forth. But about 55 times, Jesus, in the four Gospels, talks about the Holy Spirit. Or it's mentioned in the four Gospels, the Holy Spirit. It starts out in the Christmas story. Remember a man named Zechariah and Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit came upon Zechariah. Mary, when the Annunciation came to her of the birth of Jesus, it says that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit led Joseph and helped Joseph about making decisions about the safety of Jesus. And when they went, we read that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as a boy. And on down through the Gospels, different references to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down on Jesus at his baptism. And when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the dove came down and the Spirit of God rested on Jesus and spoke. And so people were aware. They saw the Holy Spirit, but yet it's going to be different on the day of Pentecost. It was the Holy Spirit, we're told in the Scripture, that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. So all along the way, there was the Holy Spirit with Jesus. I don't know, indwelling, I'm not sure about that, but somehow all along the way through the Gospel, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, but yet it's different. It's going to be different after the day of Pentecost. And throughout Jesus' ministry, there's this close link between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit, talks about the Holy Spirit being there. Let's just look at a few of those references. I'm going to read a few of them tonight. If you want to follow along, I'm going to read about five of these references of Jesus to the Holy Spirit. The first two from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 29. And I picked these because they're representative of what Jesus' connection to the Holy Spirit was. In Mark chapter 3, verse 29, Jesus says this, "But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." I think, wow, well, that's a pretty strong one to start with. And my subject tonight is to dissect that and talk about that. But here in Mark chapter 8, Jesus talks about the deep importance of respecting the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is absolutely important to His believers. And our attitude and somehow how we handle and treat the Holy Spirit is absolutely important. And let me turn on to another one in Mark chapter 13, verse 10. Mark chapter 13, verse 10. Jesus says here, as He's talking about the end of the age, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." Jesus promises His disciples. I mean, He knows that all of them are going to be put to death later. I'm sure Jesus knew that. He knew they would be persecuted, they would be put in prison, they'd be beaten, beheaded, stoned, hung upside down on a cross, whatever they did to all the apostles. Jesus knew that ahead of time. And He says to them, "But I want you to know that when you stand before them, when the time comes, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through you and in you and help you." That's just a couple from the Gospel of Mark. And then the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 21 says, "At that time, full of joy of the Holy Spirit," reminds us that the Holy Spirit is to do something within us. It's not just to be there, but to be there and fully working in our hearts and our spirits. The Holy Spirit is to produce joy within us and help us. "The Holy Spirit will teach you," Jesus said to His disciples. I kind of get the feeling that Jesus' teaching and relating to the Holy Spirit was far more important and maybe far more than we realize when we think about the ministry of Jesus. Jesus probably said a lot more about the Holy Spirit that never got recorded in the Scriptures, I'm saying, because what we do see is the importance of and how deep these words are. I read a couple references from Matthew, a couple from Mark, and one from Luke, and I want to read four from John, because John, probably of the four Gospels, could be called the book of the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says more about the Holy Spirit in the book of John, really about the same as in Luke, but he says some very important things about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John. Again, if you want to read along with me quickly, four references. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39 is the first one. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You have John looking back and reading into something that Jesus said and explaining it later, saying Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit there, but we didn't quite understand it then. It was later on that we began to understand what Jesus was trying to tell us about the importance and the meaning of the Holy Spirit. Then go a few chapters over to chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 16, and listen again to what Jesus says here about the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and then listen to what he says, for he lives with you and will be in you. Jesus telling the disciples the Holy Spirit is going to be inside of you, going to be living with you. The word here, he will live with you, is, and I understand it, it means that he moves in and he's living there forever. He's a permanent resident of your heart. Jesus is telling the apostles and the disciples, he's moving in, he's staying there. He's not coming in for 3 months. He's not coming in until things get rough. He's just not coming in to help you with a problem, and then he's moving on, but this is different. The Holy Spirit is moving into your life, and disciples are going to be with you. He will be with you, the indwelling of the Spirit. Turn over to chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's a lot here in these verses about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. There's also the inference here that the Holy Spirit in our world is the counteraction of the enemy of our soul. So we know that Satan is present in this world for a time. There will be a time when God will bring that time period to an end. And until then, the Holy Spirit is the one that is countering the work of Satan, countering the work of the enemy of our souls and our lives. So we understand how important he is. God's giving him to us to help us in spiritual warfare. He's our counselor. He's our advocate. He gives this list of things. He will convict of guilt. He will cause men to believe in me. All these things, he will bring judgment. All these things, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And we need him. It's important, all these things that he does. And then he says he will guide you into all truth. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to guide you into all truth. God really wants you and me to understand how important the Holy Spirit is to our lives, and that we be connected to him. John. Yes, there is. I'm trying to remember the story. Take not your spirit from me. Can I come up with that story? Where's that reference? There's a story that he prays that God would not take his spirit from him. Yeah, I'm thinking David, I'm not sure, but yeah. I think that's from David and his sin where he totally did evil, you know, Bathsheba and murder and all that. And I think it's in chapter 51. I think it is. And he's saying, Lord, depart not from my presence. Do not remove your spirit from me, though I have sinned. And kind of the idea of, you know, David saying, God, I can't live without your Holy Spirit. And really, you know, it's maybe, you know, David, you think of David as being a man after God's own heart. He understood how much he needed God. He messed up terribly. I mean, he just sinned. But he understood how much he needed God. Turn with me to one more reference. I'm about finished tonight. But chapter 20 of John, I want to read this. This reference is chronologically the last thing Jesus says, at least recorded in John, about the Holy Spirit. And it comes after Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of the resurrection. Chapter 20, verse 20, he just has appeared to his disciples and he says to them, peace, it's okay, don't be so upset, it's me. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, John makes it sound like when they finally realized it was him, the most important thing they could do, most important thing they could do is know the mission and know who was going to empower them to do what he told them to do. He breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit, sense it, feel it, know it. Though the day of Pentecost was sudden and dramatic and accompanied by all kinds of amazing miracles and things, the coming of the Holy Spirit had been talked about to the disciples. They knew something was coming. And the day of Pentecost became a great fulfillment, a great completion, a step of what God had planned for them. The role of the Holy Spirit would be magnified in the church. When you think of the role of the Holy Spirit and all these references in the Old Testament, it's almost like God the Father seems to me kind of to be the prominent role in the Old Testament. Of course, when Jesus came, the life of Jesus the Son, played the prominent role. And in the New Testament church, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's just kind of me summarizing. But when you think about it, all the references to God in the Old Testament, we think of God the Father, Jesus and his ministry in the Gospels, then the Holy Spirit in the New Testament church. And now looking forward, and I'm going to stop here because that's Acts and Romans and Corinthians and Ephesians and all the references to the Holy Spirit going forward is future. It is amazing. But you'll see that the Holy Spirit is going to take not the only role, but the prominent role in the early church. Ever to be present in the heart of the believer, always at work, fully connecting the ministry of Jesus to the hearts of people. And Jesus said it many times, he will come and show you what I said. The Holy Spirit will speak of me. He spoke of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would speak of him. He would be the one connecting to Jesus and the Father, teaching and guiding and convicting and convincing. Going backwards, 200 and so references to the Holy Spirit. Going forward in the New Testament, again, about 200 or so references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament. Present today in the church, speaking to our hearts when we are listening. Thankful tonight for what God gives us about the Holy Spirit. We need to be thankful for it. We worship the Holy Spirit. We worship God the Father. We worship Jesus. We worship the Holy Spirit. We believe that all three are to be worshiped and understood. You know, we've sung three songs about the Holy Spirit before I spoke. And let's just sing a cappella, Come Holy Spirit. I know you know that. I think you probably do. But would you just stand with me tonight and let's sing it as a worship. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. And just maybe ask God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to speak in my heart and my life about? Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit. It brings comfort to me just to think about the Holy Spirit and your holy presence and your holy promises and all the things that your Spirit wants to do to help your people, your church. How, Lord, He's our friend. He's our guide. He consoles us. He challenges us. He brings light to us. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit tonight, God. I pray that I would not take Him for granted. I pray that when I open the Word, I would realize it is your Holy Spirit that connects it to my spirit, connects me to the truth of God. Thankful tonight for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray, God, that you would help us as we continue to look up and look out and understand the Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks for being here tonight.